said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com, which is where I come into this show. And I am just the co-host, humble co-host for Joe Barber, Country Joe himself.
And here I am, Country Joe himself. And we're ready to go with Sam, I guess. And
yes.
Yeah, well, Sam, yeah, we got a lot of questions for you about the American Poultry Association. For people who don't know what it is, maybe you'd like to give us a brief rundown of what it is and what it does.
Sure. We often are listed as the oldest livestock organization in America, in North America, I guess. The APA came into existence in 1873 and was really kind of started by a group of gentlemen who thought that standard bred poultry, you know, and rather than just a mixed lot of backyard chickens, would be more beneficial, and they would have better productive qualities, and they would provide a sort of a game plan to strive for. And mm-hmm. So we're a lot like, I guess we're kind of like the American Kennel Club, but only for poultry.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I just joined this, by the way. I joined last week when I got all of this going here. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting into this and learning more about it. So you people judge shows and the whole thing, I see from your advertisement, right?
And right. And it really, a lot of it started, you know, where the standard bred birds were touted as being more productive than a run of the mill backyard chicken, and they developed a number of different breeds and varieties in those early years, and you know, they became some of the breeds became kind of the major flock, the type of bird that farmers would use, you know, to make their everything from egg money on up to a more substantial part of their budget from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it started. And then somewhere along in about the 1940s, the folks that were really promoting the new hybrid chickens and birds, you know, that focused more on the productive qualities, they kind of split from the American Poultry Association, and we kind of went along and just kept the standard bred birds going through show competitions, you know, where we mm-hmm. Kind of gauge their quality on, you know, how closely they match the shape and color of a standard description.
Mm-hmm. And I also noticed you do turkeys and geese also, right? It's not just limited to chickens, right?
Yeah. One of my website, you know, key names that I use is it's like All Poultry 1873, and we've really done most of the domestic poultry categories since then. But actually, a couple of years ago, we added guinea fowl, which had not been in there before, and so they're a little closer to a wild type of bird, but nevertheless, they were a common domesticated bird across America.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what else does the association do? Is there any other things that we don't know about or that we should know about?
I think just as part of our base mission of promoting standard bred poultry, we in recent years we've gotten into you know, relationships with the heritage poultry sector, where mm-hmm. they've gone back in and kind of highlighted some of the breeds and varieties that we recognize, and you know, sought to basically bring them back and make
and
them
you say,
more viable, you know, part of the small flocks in America.
And when you say standard bred poultry, could you explain to listeners who aren't, you know, haven't ever even heard of a show chicken, what you mean by that?
Right. Once a breed or variety kind of attains a certain consistency in its shape, and you know, the production capabilities that it has, for example, like a Leghorn is an egg laying machine, and and Cornish would be a meat-producing bird. Once they've kind of reached that benchmark where you can say, here's the ideal single-comb white leghorn, then that you know, they were brought into the standard, and they were recognized and as you know, a breed and variety under that, that system, and that by virtue of them being bred to a standard, that then they become standard bred. And it's easy to confuse sometimes. There are a lot of terms out there, heritage breeds or you know, old time, you know, historical breeds or whatever. And the more recent definitions of heritage poultry, for example, have related back to our standard bred poultry, because if they're standard bred poultry, that means they're in our standard of perfection, and we have a an ideal description for them, and that's what we try and follow.
And so just like show dogs, you know, if you have a breed a Dalmatian and it has no spots, it's never going to be a good show dog. If you breed a Leghorn and it has a double comb, that's not going to count as a good standard bred Leghorn, right?
That's correct.
Well, you know, just wanting to get clear that up for the, the non-chicken professionals out here.
Right, right. And we struggle with some of the same types of notions that come about in the dog world, where, you know, you might have a really great Labrador retriever that's a show dog, and there are some people that would say, well, that's nice, that's a nice show dog, but he couldn't hunt ducks worth a flip out in the water. And, you know, we get those same criticisms a lot of times about our quote, show poultry, where really, if they're properly standard bred, a good single-comb white leghorn that is good for show should also be producing as many eggs as any of the production lines.
So you go around to all the shows and you judge these chickens, and is that something that you do, or people ask you to do, or?
Yes, I'm a licensed judge, and I'm also I serve as the superintendent for the poultry at our state fair, and I also am secretary of a local poultry club. So I kind of function in all of the arenas that relate to that.
Wow!
And,
so you travel all around doing this. Not just in okay,
yeah,
so not just in Pennsylvania.
I was in Montana a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I'm going to Louisiana this coming weekend, and so there's you know,
I was
lots
just
going to
ask, because I saw on the APA website, you know, the country is broken off into separate regions, but if you're in Montana and Louisiana, I know that's not the same region. So you do all around the country, not just a particular region?
Yes. And there are you know, obviously there aren't as many shows in certain states as there are in others. And, you know, they're like the West Coast and the East Coast are kind of the hotbed, along with Ohio and the Midwest. But you know, there are opportunities in every state to judge chickens in some weekends.
Well, you know, I'm going to stop you right there, and Joe hates when I do this, Sam. I'm going to say we are almost out of time for this segment. Will you stick with us? I'm sure we have lots more to talk about.
Sure.
Excellent. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we're talking with Sam Brush of the American Poultry Association. Now, our bumper music every week says, well, I'm a great chicken. So you would be someone who could actually determine that, right?
Yes, I could pick one out of a crowd on occasion, yes.
Okay, Sam, I guess I'm curious on how many judges there are, because like I was saying, you can't do all the fairs at the same time. So, and is there a charge? Do people charge to go to these fairs? How does that work?
Yep. The APA, actually, in both associations across America, there's about 150 to 160 licensed judges. Mm-hmm. And as you might expect, out of that pool, there's a pretty good number, maybe about two-thirds, that do not judge very much. And they're either elderly, and so they only do a couple of local fairs here and there, or they may be unable to judge for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And so about a third of that 150, about 50 judges, really shoulder most of the load for handling the shows across the country. And each year they're, you know, if you include a lot of the smaller fairs and such, there are about 250 poultry show events across the U.S. and Canada. And we definitely have a number of hands who are in there, you know, and you know, for example, I might judge 8 to 10 shows in a given year. Some of the judges do 30 or more, and it just depends. And then in terms of, you know, what does a poultry judge cost? Because I get that question from my state fair folks all the time. And it sort of depends. You know, by and large, most judges are really just trying to cover their expenses. And every once in a while, when you get a fair that has some funding behind it, you can maybe make a little money. But for the most part, you know, you're trying to cover your expenses, and so, I would guess that most of the fees are $250 to $300. You know, for shows that are some distance, and a lot of judges on occasion will do it pro bono.
And how does one become an official, you know, chicken judge or duck judge, and are you certified for all of them?
Yeah, there's actually an apprentice program that our organization has set up where you basically apply, you pay an application fee, and provide some references, and then you go through the apprentice program where you clerk or work behind a judge at a show, or you can also work with a couple of established breeders. You can go to their location and you know, try and show them that you know your stuff, so that they will fill out a short report about your skills and send it back to the licensing committee. And then that ultimately ends up with a showroom and a written exam.
Uh-huh.
If you pass, then you are a licensed judge.
Wow, interesting. And another question I have is, I noticed your quarterly newsletter and your annual yearbook. You know, what is that when that comes? What can we expect to find in the quarterly newsletter?
The quarterly newsletters are usually fairly short messages from each of the directors or the other officers, and then we may have an article or two or just news, mostly about agent or organization business. Mm-hmm. The yearbook is a more comprehensive book that has advertising from any number of breeders and exhibitors out there, along with poultry supply houses and almost anything that's related to poultry. And,
okay.
Even some things that aren't. So, that's a really good document to be able to get, because you can thumb through and find which breeders have the kind of chicken or duck you want, and you can mm-hmm. contact them. You know, and all the address information is in there.
Well, that's really, yeah, that's interesting. So that's kind of one of the reasons I joined. You know, see, get right into this. Mm-hmm. Check all this out. This is so the headquarters is in Pennsylvania, right? Is that where you
headquarters? Our secretary is there, and so that becomes our headquarters.
So if the secretary decides to quit, whoever else becomes the secretary. If they live in Ohio, that's where the headquarters would be.
That's correct, or somewhere in between. You know, we're not as big an organization as some of the other livestock entities, but. You know, I guess somewhere along the line we could get one of those big moving van things and set it up. So.
Now, how many members do you have in the club or in the association? Do you know?
We are somewhere close to 2,800 or 2,900.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay.
And that includes there's approximately 200 to 240 associations, local associations or breed clubs that join. About 275 of those are junior members, and the rest of them are regular members in several categories.
Now, I was going to ask about the junior members, about whether children are allowed to belong, and whether there are shows just, you know, for junior show, and what age children?
We have, I guess, our upper limit is stated as 18. So if a show typically has a separate junior show, like, you know, you go to one event, but there'd be the open show exhibits over on one side and the junior exhibits elsewhere. And those junior members could compete for the APA awards over in their junior show section.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really, we haven't ever really pinned down a minimum, although we've been tempted at times, because it's kind of hard to envision a two-year-old showing chickens and knowing what's going on. So.
Mm-hmm. Or a three-year-old trying to compete with an 18-year-old at anything.
Yeah, you know, that's true. Yeah.
Well, GCM, why don't you give us your website and tell people how they can join and how much it costs, and for junior members and regular, and that'd be,
okay.
You know.
Our website is www.amerpoultryassn, American Poultry Association, Amer Poultry Association, and .com. And our membership currently, regular members are $20 per year, $50 for 3 years, and our junior mm-hmm. members are $15 per year, $40 for 3 years. And then we have a life membership category called Endowment Trust, and mm-hmm. that is currently $365, one-time payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let me see, and our associates, our clubs, pay a dues of $25 per year.
Wow, and okay.
You can sign up on our website, or you can print off a membership application form, or you can call our APA office in Pennsylvania, and Pat will sign you up. Pat Horseman is our secretary.
Well, there.
Well, excellent. You know, Joe, I'm going to say it again. No. We are almost out of time for this segment.
Uh-huh.
And so, Sam, would you stick with us for one more segment?
I certainly can.
Okay.
That'll be great, because I know Joe has more questions. But then again, that's always true.
Always.
We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back again to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are still lucky enough to have Sam Brush with the American Poultry Association with us. And I'm glad I got that all out without stumbling one bit.
That was
now,
good.
How does every once in a while, you know, I can get this right. Now, how does one go? What does a chicken show consist of? Is it just a beauty show, or are there behavioral things you look for when you're judging a chicken or
well,
a duck?
It really,
a goose?
It's kind of a composite of everything, because each breed and variety is going to have a certain required shape, you know, and that the body may be wide or narrow. It may be, you know, have a long tail or a long neck, you know, whatever the characteristics are for that breed. And then there's also the color aspect. So, they're required to have certain color patterns and, you know, arranged in certain ways. And the closer they can match the standard description, the better. And then there's also a number of factors that are related to body type that have to do with the productivity of that particular breed. And so it really, when a judge is going down the aisle and looking at it, he's looking for that best composite package of that particular chicken. And so, you know, where a chicken may have a very good shape and a good body, you know, for producing eggs, they may have a couple of faults on the color side, but the most important things are the shape and the conformation of the body. And so that's where all the points lie. So those chickens would get a leg up toward first place.
Okay. Now, another question I have, do you have equal amounts of members that sign up with geese and turkeys and whatnot, or is it more of chickens?
No, in the poultry realm, you know, in the early days it started out that most of the members would have had large chickens. And then there are a few with the miniature, the bantam chickens, and then lesser numbers with geese, ducks, and turkeys. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, the bantams have kind of come to the forefront because they're small, they don't eat as much, and they're very attractive, and they're easy for kids to handle. And so, it probably is, you know, in terms of which members have how many of each category, the bantams are by far ahead, and then the large fowl and some of the ducks and geese, and then turkeys and guinea fowl are pretty far behind. small number.
Oh, yeah, I kind of almost guessed that.
Yep.
And do you judge? I know Joe dearly loves his rare chickens. Do you judge the rare breeds as well?
Yes, I'm general licensed, so I get to look at all of the different breeds and varieties that are in the standard of perfection. That's a pretty wide range.
Wow. Okay. So then you must know Craig Russell. Do you know
I
him?
I know Craig Russell.
Yeah, okay.
I grew up in New Jersey, and so Craig was a fixture way back into my younger days.
Yeah, he's on our show quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Yes. How did you get into showing chickens and being into chickens in the first place?
Well, I often say that I hung around with the wrong people. But it really wasn't so much that. My parents moved out to a rural, what was then a rural section of New Jersey, and my dad was into kind of the gentleman farmer sort of thing, so they had goats and chickens and things of that nature. And I was the little kid that was just fascinated by the chickens, and so when I got old enough, I was introduced to a couple of gentlemen who had a big part in the Madison Square Garden poultry shows, and they gave me a start in my show chickens at the time, and it just took off from there.
Wow. Now, currently, how many chickens do you have, and what kind do you have?
I almost refuse to answer on the grounds that may incriminate me, but I think I have around 220 at this point.
Uh-huh.
And I've started with Cubaleas, which are a rare breed, essentially.
Right.
And then some buff leghorn bantams and red naked neck bantams. And then I've added quite a few over the years. So I have a Hamburgs, I have Cornish, I have several colors of large leghorns, and Old English Game.
Wow. So you got quite a variety.
Too many is what I have. So.
Well, I don't know. We won't have you and Joe compare how many is too many. We might have to get your respective spouses in the conversation if we try to have that conversation.
Uh-huh. So, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So you really know what to look for when they hit on your doorstep, the kind of chickens you've got, right? I mean, wow, you really got to have good chicken.
I have a good assortment, so and it gives me a chance to learn about some of the breeds that I may find in the show, and, you know, be a better judge by keeping some of them for a while anyway.
And do the show chickens get points off or points added if they are, you know, if they don't try to attack the judge?
Actually, that kind of depends a little on the judge. I've known judges in the past that if a rooster went after them, they wouldn't even open the cage. They just mark it out and go on. But, you know, you really need to try and work with each bird and try and handle them. And some of them have better dispositions than others, but
is temperament part of the breed standard?
It's not really part of the breed standard, other than in the way that they may show and display, and they're, you know, just it comes into play there. You know, you don't get points off for being an ill-tempered rooster, but you know, in practice, you may actually be at a disadvantage. So.
Mm-hmm. You may end up in Aunt Shirley's stew pot if you're an ill-tempered rooster.
Well, and there are individuals, even in some of the breeds that are mild-tempered, there can be individuals that get out of line, and so.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long is a show chicken? When do they come into their, you know, their peak, and when do they leave their peak as far as being a show chicken?
A lot of birds will come to a peak in their first year as cockerels or pullets. Mm-hmm. And so if they're hatched in the spring for those later fall shows, they're in very good feather and good shape for showing. You know, they may come back into good shape as cocks or hens later on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know there are some exhibitors that are showing call ducks that are 10, 12 years old and still winning. So,
wow.
You know, it can extend that long.
Wow. That's surprising. That really surprises me. You know, I always thought you were going to say like 3 or 4 years old and then that's it. You know, of course, I'm thinking of laying hens too, you know
yeah. And most of the laying hens, you know, or the production birds would be in that 3 to 4, maybe 5 years. And even some of the heavier breeds, you know, they have a tough time, you know, being in good shape after 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I would almost think turkeys would fall into that category too. You know, real quick showtime.
That's true.
Yeah.
Could be why there are so fewer in numbers. You know, I'm gonna say those terrible words again. We are running out of time. And I can just feel Joe cringing all the way down in Florida when I say that. Sam, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, Sam.
Well, thank you both very much. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And here's website. Yep, one more time.
Yep.
It is www.amerpoultrysn.com.
Excellent. And we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
I'm a great chicken.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we have with us our next guest, who is Barry Peavy, and he is from a town in the middle of Georgia called Fitzgerald, Georgia, that is rife with chickens.
Ah, that sounds interesting. How's that work?
Well, you know, they're like really colorful squirrels. They're everywhere.
Uh-huh. It's almost like the wild Key West chicken kind of thing. Is that what it's like down there?
No. Ours are much more civilized and elegant than those yard birds down there.
Now, how did they come into Fitzgerald?
Well, the popular myth slash fact is that the Department of Natural Resources brought them to their facility over near House Creek, which is a branch of the Okmulgee River, for experimentation as a game bird. Along the line of a pheasant type of a hunting bird.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And that for whatever reason, they didn't fare too well in the wild in this area. I don't know if it was environment, temperature, predators. I don't know what it was. But anyway, that experiment didn't go well. But in the meantime, a local citizen absconded with some eggs and raised them here in town. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, chickens being the roaming type bird they are, mm-hmm. They got loose and proliferated, and they are a self-sustaining population here in our downtown area.
Okay, now what do they look like? Are they more like a jungle fowl type bird or more like a pheasant?
They are exactly like a jungle fowl type bird.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the University of Georgia has had a graduate student take blood from them to check their DNA against the Burmese and Vietnamese jungle fowl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
What I understand, and this is secondhand, but what I understand is that the actual jungle fowl in Burma and Vietnam, Southeast Asia right now, have been polluted, crossbred, and so forth, to the point of mm-hmm. not being the same, you know, that they were, you know,
right.
I don't know, many years ago.
Okay, now how many do you have running around the town? How big is the town?
I guess Fitzgerald is a town, about 12,000, with another 10,000 in the county, and we're a very small county, so it's a... you know, kind of, we kind of lump it together when we quote population. Town is actually, it's a colony, not a town. It was founded as a colony for retired veterans of the Union Army from the Civil War. And shares of stock were sold, and the mm-hmm. town was laid out. And P.H. Fitzgerald, who was a newspaper man from Indiana, raised the money and planned the city, and so we had settlers here in the early 1900s, late 1800s, from all 50 states. Well, at that time, wasn't 50 states, I guess, but so that's the origins of the town. But it's a small South Georgia town. We're about 120 miles from the Florida line, north of.
Oh,
the
are you? Wow.
Yeah, I was going to describe where you are as if someone drew a line between Atlanta and Jacksonville. Right about in the middle of line. That's where
we're on 129, the old Dixie Highway.
Wow!
Right on 129. You can go south till you smell it, and east till you step in it, and that's where we are.
There. Now, about how many chickens do you have running around Fitzgerald?
You know, I don't know. The speculation has abounded from a couple hundred to several thousand, but I would say, given the area they're in. Less than 1,000.
Okay. Do you go around and collect them up like they do in Key West and adopt them out?
No. They're very much self-sustaining. You will find the occasional person who may throw some scratch feed out their backyard and everything. But we being the Chicken Festival, have tried to attract them downtown and thrown out scratch feed for them. And that is not their first forage of choice. They would much rather have live insects than they would scratch feed, though they will eat it. But
yeah.
That, you know, it's not like pigeons. You throw it out there and wham, there they come.
Yes.
They, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, and they operate in areas. They sort of have their own territories.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in my neighborhood that actually is one-legged.
Wow.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Apparently very well. He's been around for... let's see, my kids are 6 and 8, so he's been around about 5 years.
Isn't that amazing?
And my girls refer to him, of course, as Hoppy.
Yeah. Now, these chickens, do they fly? I mean, are they good flyers and whatnot?
They as chickens go, they are excellent flyers. I've seen them fly for a couple hundred yards. I've seen them gain altitude of maybe 50, 60 feet.
That's amazing for a chicken.
Yeah. They're very good for chickens. Of course, the primary they have two primary predators around here. One being red-tailed hawks
uh-huh.
for the chicks, and the other being four-wheel vehicles.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say something like dogs or coyotes or.
Oh no! The roosters are a formidable adversary for the dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
The chicks. Yeah, you may lose one to a cat here and there. I don't think dogs are quick enough.
Yeah. Wow. So there's another day, and I only thought it was Key West that had wild chickens running around.
And they roost in trees, by the way.
Yeah, they do down in Key West, too. That's mm-hmm. that's a natural thing. But that must be interesting. And you claim these are prettier. Of course, jungle fowl is, mm-hmm. you know, the Key West chickens
are
mixed.
Reds and greens and blues and oranges and yellow. And you'll occasionally see the one that is obviously – a mix with a white domestic chicken.
Sure.
But for the most part, of course, you know, the roosters are the pretty ones, and the hens are sort of dowdy and plain looking.
Well, that's because, you know, we get our choice of the men, and they have to be pretty to attract us, right?
We've got to compete, right? Yeah, yeah. But that's right. The interesting thing about my one-legged chicken. He always has him a harem of four or five hens, and seems to do quite well for himself.
Wow. Amazing.
And so he obviously not only gets around okay on one leg, but kind of gets around as well.
He gets around as well as he gets around, apparently, yes.
Now, you talked briefly, you just mentioned in passing the Chicken Festival, and we're about to run out of time for this segment, which Joe always hates it when I say that. But we're gonna want to talk about that when you come back.
Yeah.
And are these chickens you said seem pretty more sociable than the ones in Key West?
For as far as people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tolerant would be a better word, not sociable.
Right. So your kids can name Hoppy, but they can't go up and pet him.
No. They keep a steady. These chickens keep a steady, probably 30-yard buffer. You can creep up to them or you can run up to them, but you're never going to get closer than 25 or 30 yards.
Wow, that's a real game bird.
Yeah.
A game bird enough for the to survive, maybe not to be hunted like a pheasant. We are out of time for this segment, folks. We will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. Now, we have with us Barry Peavy from Fitzgerald, Georgia, where they have chickens, you know, wandering the downtown. And I wanted to ask, you mentioned briefly, you just skimmed right past it, the Chicken Festival. What is the Chicken Festival? Tell us about that, please.
I am chairman of the Fitzgerald JC's Wild Chicken Festival. We are a festival the third Saturday in March. This coming year will be March 15th. We got a great website, wildchickenfestival.com. And we're just a good old-fashioned hometown festival and fair. We have a lot of stuff for the kids, you know, the bouncy houses, the petting zoo, the rock wall, the bungee jumps, And then, of course, your crafts and art and you know, then what we affectionately call junk.
Now, do you have an art contest? If your painting involves chickens, do you get more points?
No, we don't. We have some other chicken-related stuff. We have a wing-eating contest. No, they're not wild chickens. They're, you know, your common domestic variety. We also have a chicken crowing contest. And oddly enough, I think a young lady from Michigan won the adult category last year.
Wow. And, now, how many years have you been doing the Wild Chicken Festival?
437, approximately.
Yeah, isn't that something?
No, it's we've been doing it. My brother-in-law and I have been doing it about 15 years now.
Wow.
And we were formerly a rattlesnake roundup. And Georgia Department of Natural Resources asked us if we would
set
an example of not catching the snakes anymore. And so we switched to the wild chickens. And that's been much more fun, much more inclusive.
Gee, so what is it, like a weekend festival type thing? Or
it's a Friday night, Saturday. Friday night we have a street dance in one of our downtown parking lots where we have, what was the band last year? Not the Swingin' Medallions, the Bushmen.
Uh-huh.
And good old beach music, 60s, 70s rock and roll. And then Saturday morning we have a pancake breakfast with the Masonic Lodge and 5K run. You got to have a 5K run, don't you?
Yeah. You got to. Hey, that sounds fun. Boy, that almost sounds like something I'd like to go see. Yeah, have Country Joe up there. We'll do a show. How's that?
Yeah.
That sounds fun. We'll get Karen down from Boston.
That's right. In March, I imagine it's going to be a little warmer in Georgia than it would be up here in Boston in March.
But you'd have to enter the chicken crowing contest so we can hear the Harvard chicken accent.
Yeah, that Boston accent. Yeah, Karen.
That's right. Well, I'll have to study some of my local poultry and work on that. Now, when you have the chicken festival, do any of the chickens of Fitzgerald like hang around? Are they attracted by the rooster contest?
No, oddly enough. We, they do populate the downtown. I mean, the heart of downtown, of course. The crowds and the noise scare them off, but they can still be found within two or three blocks of the heart of the festival. And we used to have birds that roosted in the center of the festival area in some azalea bushes, and they would occasionally get scared out of there by children and so forth. And unfortunately for them, the city had to pull up those azaleas year before last. And so we don't have that, but we've still got plenty of them nearby. We have a chicken safari, little tractor pull down through the chicken area where they're located. You can see the chickens and all the downtown architecture. You know, we've got a lot of old houses around here.
Wow. So what's the name of the festival? Wild Chicken?
Chicken Festival. Wildchickenfestival.com. And it's like I say, it's just a good, fun weekend. We have arts and crafts, though. I like to tell folks we're not an arts and crafts festival. We're just a fun hometown festival.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm going to look that up after.
Well, Joe, you have already, to either enter the chicken crowing contest or the wing eating contest.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, see, I could enter those two, but Joe could actually bring one of his chickens up and maybe, or have Lucky come and be the petting turkey.
Yeah, we've got some live birds there. Folks over in Albany called Poultry Palace.
Uh-huh.
They bring about eight varieties of exotic chickens, some silkies, a Rhode Island Red, and some other varieties. And they have one or two that you can pet and take your picture with. They like to get the silkies out there and let them walk around so that the people can see the lack of, you can't see the feet, you know.
Right. They just look like Phyllis Diller in a chicken form.
Yeah, the first time those folks came to the festival, they said they've been coming about 10 years now, but they've got a rooster, and I don't know what brand he is, but he's about 4 feet tall. And I got out of my truck at 5 a.m. It's pitch black dark, and I hear our little chickens, who are more or less sopranos, And then all of a sudden, out of the dark comes this baritone, and no, I'm not going to do the crow. But comes this baritone crow that, you know, sounds like Bowser off of Sha-na-na.
Uh-huh.
And what in the world? I thought it was somebody trying to make a joke or something, you know. And no, it's this 4 foot tall, I don't know, whatever kind of rooster he was. But
sounds like a Malay, you know. Yeah.
They're a lot of fun. I think Thunderfoot was his name, and he lived up to it. He was really large.
Wow.
Well, Joe, maybe you could bring some of your rare chickens up if you have some down in March.
That sounds fun, going up to a small town in Georgia, doesn't it?
It is, and you know, you'd be surprised how many folks in our area have not seen live chickens.
Really?
You really?
Know, you think a rural area, everybody's seen them. But, you know, we have a lot of farming, but we don't have a lot of farms.
No kidding. Wow.
You know, I have friends who raise, you know, backyard chickens, but that is largely a thing of the past, even our rural area.
Wow. Yeah, I thought that'd be a up-and-going thing there. I really, because these small towns in Florida, it's all about backyard chickens.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm. Not as common as you would think. You know, I know far more people in Atlanta raising backyard chickens than I do here.
Yeah. Wow. And I do. I know some people in Atlanta that raise chickens right in downtown Atlanta. That's wow. We're going to have to get Country Joe's Chicken Show on a radio show up there, on a radio station up there, so people can start listening to the chicken show.
Yeah.
That's right. And learning how fun it is to have chickens in your own backyard. And boy, there's nothing like a fresh egg from your very own chicken.
That's true.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. My mother worked for the Poultry Science Department of the University of Georgia for 30 years, and so we got fresh eggs frequently.
And, wow.
So you grew up knowing chickens very well.
Yeah. Yes, I have. I've spent a lot of time, and I was born in Gainesville, so you know.
Oh wow!
Yeah, a little chicken connection there too.
Yeah.
You know, gentlemen, we are running out of time for this week's show.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you tell us the web address for the festival one more time?
Okay, it's wildchickenfestival.com, and the website will be updated here in the next week or two, and have all the entertainment for this coming year. And, of course, there's always pictures on there. You can look at previous competitions and fun, and get an idea what you're going to look like when you get done with that chicken eating wing eating contest, Joe.
Sounds fun. Yeah, it sounds fun. Uh-huh.
But we invite everybody down, and love to have you guys. And
you know, that
like sounds, chickens are a lot of fun. They're a lot more fun than snakes.
They are.
And way more cuddly, too, even the wild ones.
Yeah.
Folks, we are out of time for this week's show. And, Joe, will you say it with me?
Okay, you ready?
Everyone, may the flock
be with you.
With you.